Lose your house, lose your vote. The online paper The Michigan Messenger blasted out that headline late last week. According to that story, local Republican Party leaders in the Detroit metropolitan area of Macomb County plan to use foreclosure listings to question whether people who come in to vote are actually eligible. Macomb County has one of the highest foreclosure rates in the nation. The head of the Macomb County and statewide Michigan GOP were quick to dismiss the story as, quote, a fabrication. The story's writer stands by her reporting. Here with more on the evolving story, we have Michael Slater, executive director of Project Vote. It's a nonpartisan, nonprofit group that works for voter engagement in low-income communities. And Ron Christie, president of Christie Strategies and former special assistant to George W. Bush. Thanks to both of you for joining us.
Hi, Farai.
So let me start with you, Michael. How does this story, and we should say, again, it's a disputed story, line up with things that you hear and that you're working on at Project Vote?
Well, I think an important point, too, is to put this issue in context. What we know is that there's been a 50-year history on the part of the GOP to develop so-called caging lists, which are lists of return mail from primarily low-income and minority communities, and then go on Election Day and challenge those voters. So what we're hearing coming out of Michigan is consistent with that history. Now, whether they've innovated on this practice by going after foreclosure lists or if they continue to plan to use direct mail like they have in the past, we will see. But at this point, what we do know is that the GOP has indicated that they're going to engage in this kind of Election Day challenge, this kind of voter caging activity. The question is just what the methodology will be.
Now, let's take a look at whether or not this is fair. Ron, we've talked before about what makes for smart voting practices and voter security. Do you think it's fair to have election challengers in general?
I think it's certainly fair for I to have election challenges if there are legitimate instances where someone is registered to vote in more than one polling location, or whether there are real and legitimate questions that have arisen about someone's voting status. I take strong exception and a certain degree of offense to what Michael just said, where he has indicated that the Republican Party has indicated that they are going to participate in this method. I'm a lawyer. Prove it. Lay out the facts where he can demonstrate where the Republican Party, in some sort of demonstrable way, has indicated that they are going to participate in this behavior. I think it's extraordinarily irresponsible, without evidence that a particular party is engaging in a particular activity, to make these scurrilous allegations. If he has the facts, if there is something legitimate, it should be investigated and pursued to the fullest extent of the law if individuals are tampering with an individual's right to vote. But absent that proof and absent a strong backing, I think it's scurrilous.
Ron, I'm going to go back to Michael in a second, but I want to stay with you, Ron. Here's a statement from the head of the Michigan GOP. There is no truth to this story. It is a complete fabrication. There has never been a plan to use foreclosure lists to challenge voters. There is no such plan, and there will never be such a plan. That speaks to what you were just saying about verification. Already on the internet and on message boards, there has been a huge outcry and backlash against the GOP. If this story is proven to be incorrect in some way or any way, what's the recourse, or is sort of the is it already viral?
Well, let me put it to you this way, Farai. I would enjoy the opportunity, if this story is in fact proven to be incorrect, if this story has in fact been proven to be a falsehood, that Michael, given his nonpartisan affiliation with his group, would take the responsible step and say that he had believed that there were allegations to be true, and since those allegations were proven not true, that leaders such as Michael in this case would take the lead to inform the public. But, of course, my suspicion will be is that there will be no proven facts to these allegations, and Michael and his group will do nothing to dispute the accuracy of, in fact, the GOP has not and will not continue to participate in these sorts of activities.
Michael, that's a gauntlet. What do you say?
I think I would love to be proved wrong in this particular instance, and I would love to hear from the Republican National Committee and its candidates that they're not going to engage in voter caging and Election Day challenges in 2008. I think that would be a wonderful accomplishment, and I'm willing to praise that. I'd like to go back to the earlier point, and that is that in 2007, in response to a report that we released, the executive director of the Republican National Lawyers Association actually said that they expected to do Election Day challenges in 2008. So I think there is actually evidence that this may happen.
There's a difference between having an election day challenge, looking at the legality of someone based on their citizenship or their being in a particular municipality for the requisite amount of time to vote, versus the allegation that people are discriminating based on race. Those are two entirely different matters.
Having read the article, what I read was that race was a part of the picture because race and economics intersect. I did not read that it was about race simply based on the skin color, but the fact is that when you talk about economic communities of people of color, you're often talking about people who have less money. How do you respond to that, Michael, how race plays in? Is it a specific racial targeting, or is it a cross-hatching when you have things like election challenges of race and economics?
Sure. I'm putting this in a historical context. We will see how 2008 plays out, and I would love to see it play out in a way different than it has in the past. But I'd like to read a quote from Chris Wolf, who's a Republican National Committee Midwest political director, back in 1986, and this document emerged in the course of litigation. She said, she wrote, "I would guess this program," and she's talking about a voter caging effort, "will eliminate at least 60,000 to 80,000 folks from the rolls. If it's a close race, this could keep the black vote down considerably." So I think the origins of this sort of activity is clear. Whether or not it changes in 2008 or it continues the same, I think we have yet to see. But again, it would be wonderful if the Republican National Committee would come out and commit to not engaging in these activities in 2008.
I'm just stunned. I have to say, you cite a 22-year-old report. Then we move fast forward to 2008 when the alleged activity in Michigan was disputed and deemed to be reprehensible by the Republican Party of Michigan. So now the Republican Party is supposed to put out preemptive apologies or preemptive that makes no sense to me. Again, this is a nation that's built on laws and built on rules, but the Republican Party, nor should the Democratic Party, have to go out and issue preemptive, "Well, gee, we're not going to participate in this and we're not going to do it," when in fact the party has already denounced such reprehensible behavior. I mean, I think you're trying to have it both ways.
I'm going to go to Michael for one last word on this, because obviously we could talk longer about it. When you look at what happened at different previous recent elections around race, voter IDs, allegations that people were asking people of color for extra ID, something that Donna Brazil told me in an interview, that one of her sisters was asked for multiple forms of ID when you need only one.
Right.
Are you concerned, quickly, that people of color will feel intimidated in some cases from even trying to vote?
Yes, there's anecdotal and statistical evidence that poll workers require stricter forms of ID from people of color than from white voters. So I think that's a very, very real concern, and certainly the fact that the Supreme Court approved the Indiana bill I think could be misinterpreted by casual readers of the news in other states to mean that ID is required in their own state. I think we need to be very worried about that. To get in one more point, in Ohio in 2004, the GOP, the state Republican Party, sent out caging letters to predominantly African-American precincts in Cleveland.
Okay.
So I think there is a recent history of this as well. But again, I would love to see that that would not be the case in 2008.
All right. Well, Michael and Ron, we'll definitely pick up on this again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to be with you.
Talking to Michael Slater, Executive Director of Project Vote, and Ron Christie, President of Christie Strategies and former Special Assistant to George W. Bush. Coming up, we have got our Africa update.